Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The following is a presentation of the Force Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. This episode is one of our deep dives, our Bacta tank of talk. Come into the welcoming goo with us. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Catnaps. Kablunk. We are in the glue, the glue and the goo swimming around, trying to get the sentence in before my wonderful gardener it starts blowing right beneath my studio window. Kids, build a podcast studio high above, not near a garden.
Far away from the garden. the gardens can bring such bliss and such noise.
Yes, they can.
Anyway, we are excited to talk today about collecting Star Wars. We've kind of done some of these memory episodes over the last several months, and we wanted to look back on just the idea of how does it affect our relationship with the stories to collect Star Wars, and just some fun life memories of things we have collected and why and how they've changed us, all those great things. Before we get to that, we want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, MP3 player. We are continuing to recommend Queen's Hope by E.K. Johnston, the next Padme novel in the collection. To download your free audiobook, go to audibletrial.com/forcecenter. One more time, audibletrial.com/forcecenter for a free audiobook. It helps us and you get a free audiobook. With that, we are going to get into collecting Star Wars. So, Ken, we've talked a lot about action figures, and honestly, we'll probably talk a lot more in this very episode. It's my bias. That's the main way I collect Star Wars, but I know you love them as well. We also wanted to pull back and take just kind of a larger look at collecting in Star Wars in general, our history with it, and its importance to Star Wars. So starting there, big picture, what do you think is important about the relationship between collecting and Star Wars? Is it vital to what Star Wars is and why?
It's really vital, and I think we've talked, and we'll always talk. We're always going to revisit this, because guess what? There's always more things to collect. There's this big picture connection of taking what you love on screen and pulling it down off the screen and taking it home with you and taking it with your life. That's been brought up in other spots and documentaries and books and everything, and that's the overall big picture. It's that connection. But I think for this conversation, I really wanted to focus, you know, in thinking about this question you asked here, I really want my heart to focus on when I was a kid and what it meant then too, right? It's just, it was so simple, but it was the big thing. You could explain it with the, fancy psychological paper or something there. It's just wanting to express my love for this in more ways than just watching. And it's wanting to tell the world. T-shirts were an unbridled declaration of love. The toys on our shelves are testaments to that connection. And that's where it started. And then it kind of picked up for me. The speed of that picked up for me in the 90s. When you and I have talked about, a lot of us have gone through that, you know, it will still happen in this day and age, I think a little less, but if just, you got to put the stuff away. And there was a little bit of stubborn, nerdy rebellion of like, no, I'm in college and I'm going to buy these toys and buy these shirts and buy these figures because I'm going to fight against this. But you can't enjoy that phase anymore. So all that is the big reasons behind it. But at the end of the day, it's just connection.
Yeah, and I think, collecting leads to connection, I think, is just a great way to say that. I mean, I think for me, it's the, it allows us to take it off the screen, like you said, but it also, it makes it part of our daily lives. So these stories, these characters, these ideas sit in this really interesting place that is both a place of great depth and a place of not mundane. They make the mundane exciting. Bringing these exciting stories and characters and feelings into our day-to-day life. Like, I think by taking, you know, the story off the screen and expressing it with the t-shirt or playing it with action figures or video games or whatever it is you collect or engage with, if it's at this point, you can make an entire Star Wars kitchen where every normal kitchen implement is actually R2-D2. You can bring it into your life so many ways. I think it both has the potential of internalizing the deeper meanings of the stories, right? If you are playing with action figures and thinking about that, or if, you know, we hear stories about people who are inspired to do, you know, what they do in their career because of 3PO or whatever, you know, bringing the characters into your life is a way to internalize the deeper meanings. But then I think it also just has this incredibly direct aesthetic value, right? Of just like having an action figure on your desk at work, or like a cereal box with Obi-Wan Kenobi on it, is kind of, to me, like a modern equivalent of like Stop and Smell the Roses, of just like, no matter how stressful or difficult your day is, here's just this little moment of bliss, even if you don't fully stop to appreciate it, right? When your eyes just sort of rake across an image of something that you love, there is that little burst of joy, and that's so important and valuable, I think, in keeping going during difficult times when you have things around you that give you just a little pop of happiness.
Yeah, it's so funny. Even as you're talking, I'm trying to put this into, take it off from practice into play here. And I have a little Lego Wampa among the many things. And as you're talking, I'm like, yeah, I see that Wampa. And I connect to my childhood fear of the Wampa. And then when I started to conquer that fear and collect the Wampa, and that little Lego Wampa I have, which now you can play or at least fight against in Lego Skywalker Saga, like, that represents a journey with that character, that figure, that creature, and that film. And it's true. And I interact with that just daily.
Yeah.
The memories are there.
Yeah. In big ways and in small, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes I even pick it up just be like, ah, look at this. This is a wampa. It's just, it's so silly.
Yeah. And it brings you joy, which absolutely matters. Yeah. I think the other big thing for me about collecting Star Wars that I appreciate is it is a way to embrace reality. And what I mean by that is it is capitalism. Yeah. It always comes up in these conversations. There's always discussions of choices just being made for capitalism. They're just trying to sell toys and all that. And the part of this is, yes, it is absolutely capitalism. You can make the argument that from Lucas's perspective, initially it was like, you should merchandise things that younger people are going to love because that helps make it profitable and then you can make more. And, you know, the famous story of him holding on to the merch when Fox is like, sure. Yeah, the merch. Good luck with that, right? There's a whole story there that's fascinating, how much the merchandising of Star Wars had good effects, bad effects. But the truth is, as we exist right now here today, the extremely large company Disney wants to make money, and they will print Grogu on anything, right? If they could make money by printing Grogu on a catheter, they would, right? That's just reality, right?
Doc, I'm going to need the Grogu catheter.
Here's your choice. Oh. You can tell a lot about a patient by which Star Wars character they choose for their catheter.
Sir, that is a Thor Love and Thunder catheter. I'm not a big MCU fan.
It's a little bit more of an upcharge for Grogu, but, you know, it gives you a little happiness. That is one side of embracing reality. The other side of that to me is just because that's true, that it is capitalism and it is designed for corporations to make money. That doesn't mean there isn't still value in it, right? Two things can be true. Nuanced truths exist, in my opinion. Because that isn't the whole story, right? It is that they wouldn't be able to make money on printing Grogu on things. Cheap attempts to make money don't always work. These things work because as humans, multiple cultures have a long tradition of toys and art and anything that is an attempt to take conceptual ideas and make them concrete so we can wrestle with them in a different way, or so they can simply be part of our daily lives so we can take a complex notion and literally hold it in our hands. That's a part of human existence, and it has been, you know, for a very, very long time. So to me, I kind of wanted to embrace it at the top because one side of it is, it's capitalism. The other side of it is it probably wouldn't work as capitalism if it wasn't such a fundamental, meaningful, joyful thing to try to make ideas that you love concrete.
Yeah, I'm behind you on that, and Force Center well said to explain it. I guess the way the nuance of it all is I think Funko Pops are both a weed that is taken over many gardens, but also I pluck some of those weeds and have them displayed.
Right. Yeah. And Funko's maybe the greatest example of this ever, right? Because it is almost, in no offense to anybody who likes them. I really like them too, but like literally at conventions, like the last time I went to the huge merch complex, the dealers, multiple rooms at Dragon Con, the Funko Pops were literally like weeds of like, they've taken over all of the places where there used to be action figures.
Right.
They are everywhere. But also like the way they are designed is an exercise in what makes this character unique. What is the iconography of this character? What tiny thing can we do to their mouth to make it, you see, that is the pure concept of this character in this moment. It's so about making specific characters, specific moments concrete.
Yeah. It really is. It really is. And that's why, at the end of the day, the great Funko debate, I've been seeing it more online recently too, of the blight of Funkos. I love them because of that. What you're saying, we're like, wow, they really captured Stannis Baratheon's grumpiness with blank eyes. How did they do that? It's on the eyebrows.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Mm-hmm. So that's just our big picture. Imagine what's to come. I want to go back to what you talked about, Ken. This, I think for a lot of fans, not all fans, of course, but a lot of fans, it does start with being a kid. So as a kid, in the heyday of the original trilogy era, what did you collect and how did it contribute to your love of Star Wars?
Yeah, without a doubt, the Kenner figures, we start there, without a doubt. That's part of our generation. But look, I got to say, even more important, not even, more important than the Kenner figures for me was the cheaper items, the ones that I could afford, the ones that my parents could get a little more easier. It's the stickers, trading cards, little notebooks. Those kind of things had more of a direct impact than the Kenner figures, if I'm being honest about the situation, because I think both recently talked about, so like specifically the Return of the Jedi Topps trading cards, where that's kind of where we learn things. You mentioned learning some words that you carried forward with your life, just vocabulary stuff. I would stare at them and grab a card and just play out the scene that I saw in the movies. And quite frankly, decades before Disney Plus, even though I might have had the VHS tapes or a TV copy, I couldn't just pop them in. You know, I didn't have a VCR TV in my room. I had to use the one in the living room. So if dad was watching something or mom had on the news or my sister was watching a cartoon, I didn't have access to Star Wars. It was the trading cards. So if I wanted to watch Return of the Jedi, this sounds like a hyperbolic statement. I would flip through the cards and just reenact the scenes in my mind. So that kept a flame for Star Wars going even more than acting out the figures, because I didn't have all the figures. Right. I didn't have a complete set. I had Hoth Luke. So Hoth Luke had to go to Jabba's palace. It was really uncomfortable for him.
No wonder no one believed he was a Jedi Knight. Like dressing like that? You want us to think you're a Jedi Knight?
Yeah, exactly. It's like scene from Back to the Future. You jump ship there in your Sailor Sylvester. And the stickers. I still have the little stickers that I got from a student store in fourth grade for a quarter. Get 3 to 5 stickers, and it's a B-wing and a Y-wing, and I got a TIE fighter and a 3PO sticker, and I never took them off, but I still own them, and I still found them in a box not too long ago, and those just, you know, carried the flame just as much as the Kenner figures.
Yeah, no, I think that really well said. I think I had a similar experience that, yeah, the action figures are everything to me when I was a kid. And, you know, my ongoing love and ideas and passion about them all come from the experiences that I had specifically because of the Star Wars figures. I had other figures, but Star Wars was, you know, that was the T-Rex of action figures. That was the thing I wanted. And it was for me the real experience that a lot of people talk about of take the story home with you and expand the story and be creative. Like, I wanted Yoda, Bespin Fatigues, Luke, and R2, and the Dagobah playset, which I eventually got so I could try to memorize and act out everything that happened between those three. But then other things just wildly made stuff up. We've talked a lot about how I had to make up a character for the Cloud Car Pilot because I didn't see him in the film when I was able to see it twice on the big screen as a child. I couldn't have picked him out of a lineup. I couldn't tell you, you know. But I had him, so I got to make up a story, right? And the story was he wanted to date Leia, and Leia wasn't into it. I was working some things out. I've told that story before. But also the effect of those figures is it made you invest in the background characters. And I think I think it's still there, and I think people are doing it in different ways. Even things like, you know, which character do you grab in Lego Star Wars, or which character do you make your avatar on social media? That kind of thing. There's still an investment in the background characters, but for our generation, I think it really started with, you know, Bossk would have just been kind of a cool flash in the pan unless you could bring him home, and then he's everything, you know, when you make up a story about him. So I think the action figures, you know, really deepen my connection with the stories, but also the individual characters. And then it's very similar with you with the trading cards and the picture books. Those are a different way to take Star Wars home. You know, I often played action figures with my brother, but when my brother wasn't there, I would read those picture books and I would look at the trading cards, and they did help me learn to read literally. And they did give little snippets of surprise information on the back. Mm-hmm. And when you think about the trading cards, like that was brutal, the collection of them, you know, because it wasn't like, Well, we have 100 or so cards to tell the story, and now go down to the store and buy cards 1 through 20. It's like, hey, kid, yeah, you got to buy them all to try to find them. But well, that made it, that was part of the fun. Like, it's
so funny.
Brutal capitalism, but it was also part of the fun because it deepens your relationship of like, oh, I got this one again. But, you know, I got the checklist early on for Empire. Mm. So I knew what I didn't have and what I wanted. Perfect trap.
It's so funny because, you know, I was collecting baseball cards and football cards at the same time. And that, though it's built on the same engine, it works a little different. I could go to, you know, my friend Randall and say, hey, I have a Vince Coleman. I'll trade you for that Don Mattingly, which at the time would have been a bad deal for him to make. You know, I couldn't do that with Star Wars. I didn't have a lot of friends collecting Star Wars. And so I was trading with the store, essentially, saving up my allowance. And it's so funny. You mentioned that Congratulating Wedge is the title of the card. I think, or maybe it's Wedge. I can't forget, but it's Wedge and Han or Luke shaking hands. Help me out there if you remember. I had 10 of those and I was always so bummed. I already know that part of the movie. I want to know more.
Yeah. And it was so tantalizing because you could see the name of the card, I believe, if you had the checklist, but you didn't know what the image was or what the text on the back would be. Great, but torturous memories as well. Mm-hmm. Final thing for me that I attempted to collect all the trading cards. I did not make it. I was nowhere near having all the action figures in terms of the real collecting part of it. I didn't have all of anything. We've both talked about it. I don't think either of us grew up with the money falling from the trees, so that was a part of it. But the other thing that was important to me were the things that I was able to bring into day-to-day life. Like there was a coup when my grandmother gave us lunch boxes. There was the Dixie cups for a while, the Burger King glasses. There was I had an R2 and 3PO pencil holder, which was just like a holy grail. Because, you know, as a kid, my perception of the world is that just like a lot of things were boring and adult and beige and kind of sad. I liked school and I didn't like school, and there were things I liked and there were things that were really hard, and having Star Wars there in a part of my kind of day to day life, that's what really got me thinking about this idea that it really brings joy to the mundane. And that started for me as a kid.
You're talking to as a kid and feeling like an adult with some of the stuff, be different in the adult world. When the behind the scenes magazines started coming out, and even the novels, when I found those, but like that made me feel like a Star Wars adult at 7 or 8 of learning a little bit more, learning the whole story, then taking that knowledge to the playground and being like, well, do you know that the speeder bikes were actually, the trees were cardboard tubes in this one shot, you know, which was just this random one-off shot I saw in the BTS magazine. Anyways, it all factored into that experience.
Yeah. Of ways to connect and then share on the playground.
Yeah, exactly.
So obviously we grew up in the original trilogy era and had a lot of the touchstones of what were the collectibles in that era. And then we had all these years where the special edition really kicked off the launch of Star Wars being back. But then you get into the hype of the power of the Force figures, then the prequel era, and then really kind of all the way up through to the sale in 2012. That was kind of, to me, like an era of Star Wars. You could break it down into others, but from 97 to 2012, Star Wars came back, and merch-wise, it didn't go anywhere. Even, you know, after the films weren't coming out, it was still dominating toy aisles. So during that whole era, what was the height of collecting for you?
I thought long and hard about this morning, because I was immediately going to jump to Power of the Force and how great that was to be in college and sneak off from my screenwriting class to buy the figures. And we've celebrated those figures so much here, the prequel era, you know, waiting there the night the figures came out, all that kind of stuff. We'll talk more about specific memories. But I think the height for me, Joseph, it's 2015 and 16, the post-sale era.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And this is funny. I just said I was hanging out with our buddy Adam Witt, friend of the show. He's been on the show before. I interviewed him here, and he's part of the movie guys and does Schmodown stuff, and is our generation Star Wars fan. We're both just reminiscing, not just about the figures and everything about 2015, but the magazine collection. Because we started this conversation about Remember magazines. They're already dying off. But that era, I have a stack of Force Awakens magazines because Adam and I had the same thought. Separately, we didn't really know each other back then. We both thought, okay, it's time to do this again. And now I can. The prequel era, remember the Vanity Fair? I have a ton of prequel era magazines. But I had to scrimp and save a little bit more then. Now I have a little bit more of the means, a little bit more of the time, a little bit more professional reason to own a lot of this stuff by 2015, 2016. Black Series figures were just everywhere. The 3 3/4, which I know you were more focused on. And I just kind of, that's why I went hog wild. And the Funko Pops and everything. That era is why I have that storage shed in my backyard I always mentioned on the show. But it was, we had this, and I mean in a good way of, oh, it's time to do this again. We're going to get a Vanity Fair. We're going to get an Entertainment Weekly. We're maybe going to get a Rolling Stone if it catches a pop culture fire. And I was bursting at the seams with joy to go through all this again. But now I could kind of remember it. The stuff in the 80s was a blur. Even the 90s now is a blur. And I couldn't get all the figure. You know, I was firing in all cylinders in that post-sale era leading up to Force Awakens and Rogue One.
And you're in the main thing that you're going, obviously, you know, Black Series and Funko Pops and t-shirts because of Jedi Alliance.
Yeah.
But for you, magazines is part of what your mind goes to as the thing that defined that era of collecting for you.
It just was, it was beyond just the figures. It was this excitement of, oh, I know what to do now when these movies come out. You're going to get a bunch of figures, but you're going to get a lot of promotion and collect the promotion because you're going to want to hold on to that. And, you know, again, I have this whole stack of prequel era stuff. I have the Jar Jar Binks Rolling Stone I've mentioned before. And so it was like, yeah, we're back. We are so back. It's not just figures and stuff. You're getting the magazine covers. You're getting Vanity Fair.
Yeah. Yeah. And to approach it with that knowledge of some of these are just going to be ubiquitous, but some are going to be collectible and not even from like a money hungry, like I can sell this later, but just that sort of knowledge of things that seem really pedestrian of like that TV guide cover or whatever, and then you encounter them in an antique shop from back in the original trilogy era. And you're like, sometimes they are expensive or sometimes you're just like, wow, that's a really frozen moment in time that seemed very disposable when it came out. But looking back, it's a record of a moment and being able to approach like that. Lead up to Force Awakens with that of like some of this stuff is going to be everybody has it and doesn't end up being anything special about it, but some of these covers might be frozen in the moment, right? Like when you look at certain periodicals in particular and you have the memory of what was going on with Star Wars, but then there'll be the other little thing about some celebrity or some political moment or some other cultural moment, you know, and that's always great too, you know, when you pick up an old Star Wars thing and it's got, you know, some spoiler about Dynasty and like, oh yeah, or something about technology, you know, you pick something up and like DVDs, are they the future? You know?
Yeah. Tonight after Ewok Caravan of Courage, a new ALF, the Akmonics are in trouble. Yeah. No, there was something too. Cause like, we all remember like the Phantom Menace cast in the desert on a magazine cover, right? Like that's like a point in time. And before the movies had come out and everything. So I just was, we're going to get that again. We're going to get the Force Awakens cast on a magazine. Yeah, it was all part of it.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool. That's really interesting. I think for me, I kind of had a similar response to thinking through this, but it's almost like the Force Awakens Last Jedi era was like the third go around for me in the way I was thinking about it, because I think the way you described, I'm an adult now and I know how to do this. That was so my relationship with the Power of the Force era in particular, leading into the prequels. But I would say like for me that the height of that collecting era was like 96 when Power of the Force got going through about 2002 was really the height for me. And a lot of it was about righting the missed opportunities of my youth.
Yeah.
You know, in some ways, our generation and you know, people a little ahead of us, behind us, are in that too. But largely Generation X, I think, was the first generation that's like, what if we didn't put toys away?
Totally.
What if it wasn't a thing we had to go like, yeah, like I've talked about my dad before. It's like, yeah, he liked Roy Rogers, but it was time to put the lunchbox away. And we grew up like, no. No. So I think there is a little bit of that sort of, that was a part of it for me of why this thing I loved it and helped me a lot in life was here with Star Wars and the collecting and the figures and all the other merch. And then it disappeared. And I've talked before about how kind of as I got older, almost everything I loved went away. You know, Doctor Who was canceled. James Bond was on hiatus. Guns N' Roses broke up. Twin Peaks got canceled. So I just felt like as I was entering adulthood, it's like, remember, the things you love are here for an instant and then they die and they never come back. And it was the total opposite of the conversation we're living in now of like, can some things please stay dead? Which is many people feel. I had the opposite experience of, remember, if you love it, it will bloom like a flower briefly and then it will die. So the Star Wars coming back and the figures in particular coming back were for me this opportunity to go, I'm not going to leave that joy behind. And this is rare and beautiful that it came back. And not only did it come back, we're going to do the things we didn't do in the past that we could never do, right? That was a huge part of the collection of collecting the Power of the Force that was joyful for me of being like, oh, they remade all the original line, but now they've got the lightsabers are better, blah, 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 from the Kenner figures. But now who are they going to make that they didn't? Oh, they made Grand Moff Tarkin. Now I can't believe they made Aunt Beru. I remember when the Leia in, you know, the Jabba bikini, when that came out, that had been a joke, right? Of like, are they going to do that? Would they ever do that? They're making, they gotta. The day that I found her at a Toys R Us, I realized I didn't have enough cash. I hit her in a different part of the store, left, drove to a cash machine, and came back because it wasn't just, I like this figure, that's cool. It was this impossibility that this character would never be made, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that is the kind of like a part of the spirit of it for me. It was a love of the figures. It was collecting the stories. But it was celebrating that not only did it come back, but it came back in ways I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, and in the debate on which generations are actually good for the world, that's what we gave you all. Gen X gave you toys, kids, all right? Gave you the ability to love things unbridled, not locked away in your heart. Thank you. You're welcome.
Yeah, for better or worse. Yeah, So you talked about your relationship with when it all came back leading up to Force Awakens. But let's go back to let's catch up to now. We got to go through these cycles. I really, as I was saying, embraced the Power of the Force in the prequels era is a chance to do it again. So then I was really ready to pick and choose as the Force Awakens, Last Jedi, everything started rolling out now I get to do it a third time. But now we're in this moment where the sequel trilogy is done. Star Wars is firing on all cylinders on television. Well, I guess many people would debate that, but lots of shows are coming out. Movies are a little uncertain, but it feels like we're on the cusp of whatever is next. So what is your, in this time, what is your modern relationship with collecting? We've both talked a lot about how limited space helps define a relationship with collecting of just like literally physically, where am I going to put this? So maybe that's the defining thing for you, but what else defines your relationship with Star Wars collecting right now?
Yeah, no, I mean, look, that's big. I mean, who hasn't moved and grabbed cases of CDs and said to yourself, why don't I just have my music digitally? Like, who? And that absolutely shapes you. And I have, several cases of Funko Pops that I bought because you need to have them because you never know if you can resell them for like now a dollar. So that has forced me, along with just a change, to be refined and focused. Now it is really about what I want, what I want to, how I want to express love for his particular character, particular movie, how I do it. I've talked often, my taste in Star Wars t-shirts has changed drastically to the point where I kind of don't have as many anymore. If it's not a Brian Ward original or a Force Center logo, pretty much don't wear it. I thought a lot about this too. I wonder if that would change if we didn't have Force Center. Not just, you know, for the negative side effects where I don't want to wear a Last Jedi t-shirt in public, lest get into a bar fight or join in with someone else to help beat someone else up. I don't know. You and I get to, and Jennifer too now again, thankfully, get to tell the world that we love Star Wars through this show. And we get to do it 5 times a week now. And we get to, go out professionally and be presented as to the world as Star Wars fans. If I didn't have that, I would need to show it somehow. And I think maybe I'd still be collecting at a rate that is comparable to the past. Because even that 2015 era, Force Center arrives late 2015, 2016, we're rolling. I'm appearing in some of those other shows. You're hosting Jedi Alliance with Mark and I had left Jedi Alliance with Maude and everything. Like, that was great, but it was still so new and still its own little thing at times that I still felt the need to go out. And if I went to the grocery store, you needed to know I love Star Wars. You needed to know.
Okay.
You know, and that's changed more than anything too, where I don't need everyone to know I'm a Star Wars fan. Again, there's some negative reasons for that, right? But now I get to, Force Center's the calling card. I talk every day about how, literally every day we get to sit and talk or share our thoughts. And so that has allowed me to be more refined and focused with my collecting.
That's really interesting. I think that's a great conversation too, about some of the outward stuff. Like I think I tend to think about what our personal relationships, like having something at a desk, or like we see so many great tweets where people build an entertainment room or a display case that's really about like their personal enjoyment, right? But then when you get into discussions of like, what is the point of a t-shirt or a tattoo? It is obviously personal. It is your personal choice, but it is a choice that is broadcast. And what do you want? Is that a byproduct for you, or is it the point or a part of the point, And like for me, I think when I wear a t-shirt, it's often because like I want to carry this mood or this feeling, like I've worn, I pick t-shirts sometimes based on like what I'm doing or how I'm feeling that day. And like, I need the Rebel Alliance with me today. Yeah. But then I also really do measure. And I think this is so interesting. What you're saying is, do I want to engage? Like, yes. I want to have, there are days where like, hey, if I wear a Star Wars t-shirt and I end up in a Star Wars conversation, that sounds great. And then there are other days where like, there are a lot of strong opinions out there and I just, I don't want to engage in any negativity, in general, like a Rebel Alliance t-shirt doesn't do that,
Right. Yeah,
but I don't have a t-shirt that says Rise of Skywalker was awesome, but I would buy that for myself. It would be inviting the possibility of conversations that that take on some emotion that I have to put emotional labor into.
Yeah, I want a shirt that says there are 6 distinct moments in Rise of Skywalker that make me cry. I just want that on a t-shirt.
maybe we need to make our I love this Star Wars, however I acknowledge these flaws, or here are my caveats that are on the back of the shirt. See back for more nuanced opinion.
Yeah, but I love too what you say too. Anything I'm saying isn't. I don't want anyone to take it as like. I cut down my Star Wars shirts, not because I'm just tired of the world here or having the conversations. You've mentioned that it's on the negative side, but like, I love what you're saying too about it. Hey, sometimes today I want to be in a Star Wars mood, or I want the world to know, like I have that, remember Alderaan Rebel hat, which by the way, I hate writings on the back of hats, but that's the only hat I could get was the one, the Rebel signal, just like I had the Death Star one that has Death Star engineering on the back of it. I don't like that either, but they don't really sell them without this. And there's some days where I'm like, someone might see this and think about it. And I want them to know that. Yeah. I'm a Star Wars fan. And I'm carrying this spirit and carrying this Rebel spirit with me. I think that's really important what you're saying too, that this day and age, much like you set up a new office at work and you put your Obi-Wan figure up, you are carrying that feeling with you. You're carrying that love. And I think that is just as important as thumping your chest and going, I'm a Star Wars fan.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I carried an Obi-Wan action figure to a hotel with me this weekend to work on some writing. So
there you go.
Literally done exactly that. Yeah, and I never mean to say that I don't want to engage about Star Wars I can't tolerate different opinions. For me, I think it is that introvert extrovert line of there's some days where I'm out in the world to be like, I want to engage with people. I want to be a part of the world. And then there's some days like I would like to go to a bookstore and quietly look. And I just, you know, I don't want to wear anything that's going to, you know, I have one Batman t-shirt that people on the streets of Los Angeles enjoy. I don't know what it is, but like I could do a scientific experiment, a social science experiment. It causes people of all walks of life to go, nice Batman shirt. In their days, I wear it and like, that's great that I get that engagement. And there's some days like, I just want to be in my own little bubble. Even though I'm outside, I can't wear the Batman shirt.
I feel you. Nah, I feel you. And look, you walk into my house, I can't tell you the amount of, you know, plumbers and skilled tradesmen who come into my house and go, you really like Star Wars, huh? Like, trust me, you know, but it's like, yeah, sometimes, and I think it goes going to the refined and focused thing that's collecting figures, but also what do I want to project today as a fan? Do I want to deal with that? Or do I want to share that with the world? Some days you do, sometimes you don't.
Yeah, yeah. You're making me remember the time many years ago in Minneapolis where the apartment my girlfriend and I lived in, it was broken into. It was a targeted thing. They just took the video game consoles and nothing else. But I had Star Wars everywhere. And this was the first time that I encountered a cop my own age or younger. And like, what? It was a sketch. It was one guy was just kind of gruff and older and wanted the details. And the other guy had his notebook out, but was just staring at the walls of the Star Wars stuff. And then literally said to me, he's like, why didn't they take all this great stuff?
Love that.
Yeah. So connections in collections always. I think for me with the getting back to our main question here, we went to some great tangents there of my modern relationship with collecting. I think I really try to ask myself, you know, just what's going to bring me joy. My wife gave me some sweatpants with Grogu on them and man, many episodes of Force Center recorded in my Grogu sweatpants. And it's just, they're functional, but it's just nice to have that little burst of joy with me. I also think I've gone into a bit of a spiral where the action figures are a lot. So I need to kind of define how I make those choices. And one of those things I want to be really aware of is what will encourage companies to make more of a certain kind of thing. Like that was why I bought Figurin Dan immediately. When he became available as a pre-order, Figurin Dan is obviously a little bit more on the famous side in Star Wars of background weirdos and more likely to be made because he's original trilogy and all those things. But like, I want to encourage that, please. You know, give me Claude with 0 points of articulation. Give me the background weirdos, you know, so I want to encourage with my purchase they think might sell.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's from the bigger issues. I have a very proudly displayed Rose Tico from Last Jedi. That was a purpose behind that, without a doubt. And also, too, down the line, I'm just like, yes, please, we need more queels.
Yeah, more queels. All right. On that note, unless you have more thoughts on your modern collecting habits, we're going to take a quick break. Any more thoughts?
Oh, I have thoughts, but we can take a break.
Yes. More thoughts after the break.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And we are back to continue our conversation about collecting Star Wars, how it's changed for us over the years, and what our relationship is to it, and how it affects our relationship with Star Wars. Ken, we're kind of venturing into this with our last topic, but right now, what makes something an unmissable purchase for you? Because I know we both go through the, we only have so much space, all those kind of things. What, when you see something and say, no, I really want this. Why is that? Why is it unmissable?
Yeah. Taken with what we were talking about before the break and building on that, this refined and focused thing, the best example, I'm holding it right here. It's in package, much like a great Joseph Scrimshaw TikTok video. I'm not going to unbox it. I want to. And one day I might. A big example is the Jar Jar Black Series figure that was released a while ago. It's one of the ones, I had to get a hold of and did get a hold of it. And it was very specific. Owning it was a statement. You see it. I'm making a statement. I think about 60% of the reason I wanted this was because I think I just really love and respect Ahmed Best as a performer and artist. I don't know him personally, but I just look at the guy and what he went through and what he is and what he says and what he's trying to do. And I'm like, if this supports him in any way, whether it's 5 cents in the royalty thing or just spiritually, I want to support that guy. And it was Jar Jar. And it reflected my own journey with Jar Jar. It reflected the public sentiment to Jar Jar, which has ebbed and flowed and definitely more positive now and then. And then you and I had spent a lot of times in the early Clone Wars reports analyzing some of those episodes that I used to roll my eyes at. And now I find great purpose in the story of Jar Jar and great purpose in the comedy of Jar Jar. So I needed that. It was unmissable. It was unmissable because it was such a statement. Along the way, Combat Poncho Leia, I got that Black Series one too. Endor Han, those are favorites of mine. I talk about it all the time. People, you know, you and I are blessed by having a listening audience that a lot of time people will tweet me, Ken, a Y-Wing was mentioned. Here it is. And I love that because I'm known as a Y-Wing guy. You're known as Tara Sanube. People are going, hey, Tara Sanube. We love that. We're blessed with that. Combat Poncho Leia is one of those for me. And so I had to have it. But the Jar Jar one is more where I'm in line with now. It is a statement purchase, at least for the figure size. And there's another side we'll talk about here in a second about the book side and stuff. But that's where I go to first.
Yeah, yeah. I really love the Jar Jar example. There was just something about the way that figure is put together. I was turning away from the mic and looking at my Jar Jar on a bookcase as you were talking. There's something about the way that action figure is constructed. It's just a great Black Series figure. It comes with all the cool Gungan weaponry. It screams justice for Jar Jar. It screams like... this character another look. Give this character the respect that that he and Ahmed Best deserve, right? And I think that's a really, really great statement. And I did make a point to go and find him at a store and pick him up and bring him home to celebrate. In limited space, he's one of the characters prominently facing out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think for me, another thing that makes something kind of unmissable, and this can be for modern things or things that I see online that I missed, is just weirdness. You know, it's one of the things that I celebrate about Star Wars is this. It's built on myths, but also built on just weird action adventure pulp. And I think just built on a sense of whimsy and fun that Lucas instilled in it, and it's clearly Lucas's sense of humor, but has been picked up by lots of different creators in lots of different ways and find ways to express it. And I like things that are weird and have a sense of fun to them. This isn't even a new thing, but I just had this moment where it's like, it is unacceptable to me that I do not own the Episode One C.O. Bibble action figure. And it's just like, I need him now. Yeah. And I stopped what I was doing. And maybe he used to be cheaper, but he cost $30. Listeners, $30 bibble bucks. What I mean by kind of weirdness and whimsy of just like, obviously there was the any figure will sell kind of vibe leading up to the prequels with, you know, the original trilogy, then leaned into the Power of the Force where they made everything. So of course it made sense to hit the ground running Episode One, make everybody. And Bibble's just like, I always like the figures that are like, it is ironic that the word action is in your noun, right? Like, we barely see you walk. you mostly sit down and don't want to do things or upset that things didn't happen. And just the sort of the weird irony of this. And he comes with a blaster. And I don't know, the weirdness when I really have to pick and choose, the weirdness makes a big difference to me in what I pick.
No, I love that this. You actually, I have one other kind of thing I want to talk about, but you just kind of, I think, connect with something that I haven't realized I've been doing, which is, as I've become more refined and focused, which sounds very adult and mature, and you're collecting. I think I love getting things that make me have that just kind of weird laughter as a Star Wars fan. If I'm checking out at 7-Eleven, I look down and I go, what the hell is that? And I gotta get it. You know, a lot of those Matchbox ones you and I talked about, which are the weird, like, Luke is a car, Jabba is a van.
The character cars,
they're horrible, and they're the best thing I have in my collection now. I love, you know, if you go to a 99-cent store or a dollar store, everyone knows I love going to 7-Eleven or something for a sandwich and coffee. I love going to the places like that that still have a toy section. And a lot of it's licensed stuff, weird licensed stuff. It's not off market stuff, but I'll go to a 99-cent store, just get some cleaning supplies. Right. I always turn that aisle just to be like, I still have it. I'm staring at it right now. I have a Phantom Menace coloring book. Now that's not out of the norm. And now, you know, back in 2015, they started putting out the coloring books, but I have a Phantom Menace coloring book that I'm still like, I kind of want to sit down and color Qui-Gon. Like, what do I do? And it was just sitting there for 99 cents. I'm like, what is, I got to get this. And I think you're right. I would not have collected that stuff as much anymore. I love my Jar Jar figure. I want the Jar Jar lollipop tongue now or whatever that weird thing that everyone always has. That's vaguely inappropriate. Like that is my eye goes to that stuff even more than it used to.
Yeah, I mean, probably one of the holy grails I haven't even looked up is the infamous, how much it costs these days, the infamous 3PO tape dispenser, you know?
Yes, exactly.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, give yourself a Googling treat. Just Google 3PO tape dispenser and you'll get a fun surprise.
Yeah,
I think in trying to be a little bit more picky, it's also like for me, it's really fun to respond to the cultural moment. Like I love Boba Fett, but I didn't have much Boba Fett merch. And that was a fun excuse to be like, what do I want to pick up? And, like I mentioned before on the show, went to an art fair. And there was an artist who was making all of these different collages that would form the lines and the colors out of, cutout, you know, magazines and backs of videotapes and all that. Kind of thing, and had a lot of old Hollywood ones, and he had a Boba Fett one, and it's like all, you know, merch that mentioned or articles that mentioned Boba Fett, and then out of that Boba Fett is shaped. And that's like one example of just like, I might not have picked that up if I didn't have Boba Fett fever.
Yeah.
I think Kenobi fever is a permanent condition for me, but the Kenobi, you know, show is going to be like, okay, this is I'm going to have a Kenobi fever.
Yeah.
That will not break for a while. There's something for me that's fun to make the collecting a part of the community moment that we're all in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Riding the wave.
Riding the wave. It's a dangerous one. It's a dangerous one. Last thing for me that sometimes makes something unmissable is I do give thought to what do I want to preserve for future generations, you know? And I think that's from living through the original trilogy wave, living through the special editions prequel wave, and now kind of that third wave of the sequels of like, what might be a figure, a magazine, a bauble that, you know, when I am, you know, hopefully 98, 102 on my deathbed, and there's some, you know, fan of Star Wars, and I could say, hey, look at my collection. Yeah. What is something that's going to make them go, wow, I can't believe you still have that, or I didn't even know they made that. Like, I am a temporary custodian of these things, and knowing how rare some things from the original trilogy era are, I want to, you know, it's one of the reasons I don't always open things is because I want to preserve them for future fans.
Yeah, I love that. That is definitely from our experience of many of those toys lost, like my famous garage sale of kind of famous because I've mentioned it 50 times here in the podcast. But that is what happened there. That's great. My final one, if I may.
Yeah, please.
It's the question of what's unmissable beyond figures and stuff like that. It is those bigger books that I always talk about. I love the Star Wars Archives ones. Grace just says she got me the prequel era one for Christmas. It was the only thing I wanted. She's like, what do you want? I was like, I want this book. And it's a great gift. And the other one was a gift as well. My friend, Sean Arnold, a friend, he gifted me three books about the Topps trading cards. And it has everyone, Star Wars Empire, Return of the Jedi, every card listed. It's great. It's beautiful. And I think I'm finding stuff like that to my liking, and it's becomes unmissable because it's the reflective side of it. So it's less in the moment, less riding that wave, less the, ooh, I need Mando season two figures, which, you know, but it just represents my lifetime of love. It's that truly coffee table thing. So when you walk into my house and go, oh, you're a Star Wars fan. Yeah. You're going to see books on the shelves because we read all the books for the podcast and this and that. But you're going to look at it and see this giant 30-pound Star Wars book. You can't miss it. And inside that book, I just flip through it sometimes because it represents a lifetime for that movie and those movies, but a lifetime for me as a fan. And I think that starts to become unmissable for me as well.
I really love that approach of like you are building a library of your personal experience.
Yeah.
The way it's a living document of your journey as a fan.
Absolutely. And you can squish tofu with it, like I've said before. 30-pound books, people. 30-pound books. But yeah, more than anything
After
else.
Buying the Tashin book on the prequels that you tried to warn me was big, and I just didn't fully appreciate that you meant big, I did pick up the smaller version of the original trilogy.
There you go. There you go. I have both. I have a coffee table in front of me for my PlayStation. I can't put food or drink on it. I just have those two books.
Yeah, there's no room for the coffee on the coffee table. Yeah. Do you have a favorite action figure collecting memory? We'll get to the collecting other things, memories as well. But for you, do you have a favorite memory of picking up a figure?
There is some stories have been told before, so I'm trying to find something new. Definitely the Power of the Force 2 experience was great because the college years. And I don't even remember anything specific, right? I just remember the feeling. I remember my friend going, oh, I think they might be over there. Let's race over to Toys R Us. It was a blessing and a curse to have your community college where you're forming your future right next to a Toys R Us. Where you can just sneak off and, hamper your future. Phantom Menace figure release night was great. I've told that story too, I know. But I want to highlight something that I know I've mentioned, but for anyone relatively new to the podcast, 99, I moved to LA in the big city, trying to, working a day job, but also pursuing my creative dreams. And there was a guy at the day job who was always kind of a jerk to me. He had dated my cousin, which is part of the reason why. And he was like a superior at my job, and he was always kind of a jerk to me. And that night I turned the corner, I got let into the Toys R Us. They were letting 5 or 10 in at the time, whatever it was. And he's there. And he was so embarrassed. He shouldn't have been embarrassed for collecting toys, but it was like he suddenly realized we were on the same level. And it was a great memory. And I was like, hey, what's up? Look at you. Oh, you got Chancellor Valorum. He's going to be a key to the story. I know. I said so. And it was just, so it was fun. It was turned into positive, but I'll never forget the look in his eyes as I turned the corner to get my figures and he's walking away with his. And he was like, oh, hey, oh, Ken. Oh, and I was like, aha, we're on the same level.
That is so great. And because the photos go around the internet, I am picturing that the person who dated your cousin was Leonardo DiCaprio, who famously, according to those photos, just gobbled up Phantom Menace merch.
I still to this day wonder if he was up there at that Porter Ranch one for a while. It was the only big Toys R Us in the valley. So there was another location too.
I think you're at Toys R Us with Leonardo DiCaprio. I think that's the truth.
Could have been. So there's that. And then the other final one, I think I mentioned here, but I got a classic Kenner Han out of package, off card, loose, $10 at a convention, one of the many conventions that you and I have gone through over the years. So I even have trouble remembering which convention it was. It might have been Chicago, it might have been WonderCon. I don't know. I just remember grabbing it because I never had that. I had a lot of figures, and even after I sold them, it's like I was always bummed. I never got my hands on a classic Han. And so I have it now, and I don't need it in a package. I don't need it displayed. I just have it. And I remember when I finally got it, it was truly like, I did it. I got a Han.
Yeah, no, I mean, that is a great feeling. And I think I scratched some of that with the Power of the Force. They never made that, or I never had that. But there are some times a character that I never had back in the day. It's like, maybe I should just pick up an inexpensive, loose, uncarded one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I think for me, my favorite memory I've talked about, I've told the story far too many times, of the kind of the twin Lukes of when I found Jedi Knight Luke Skywalker from Return of the Jedi, and then again finding Jedi Master Luke Skywalker from The Last Jedi. That will probably always be my favorite, but I've told that story many times. So the thing that there's so many, I could write a book at some point of like moments of finding action figures. But going to that Force Awakens and really knowing like this is a part of it. This part of the joy of the Star Wars journey is going to come back. The toys are going to be a big thing. I was at, when the figures launched for the first Force Awakens, I was at Dragon Con, and then I went on a comedy and music tour with my friends, the Double Clicks, and Molly Lewis. And at Dragon Con, the hour I had off, I scoured the dealer's room and I found a stormtrooper, and that was great, but it didn't quite scratch the itch. And it's like, all I want to do is go to a toy store, just be able to drive around Los Angeles and hunt. But I couldn't because I was doing this fun tour, which was great. Happy to be doing a fun tour. But we pulled into our hotel, and we were at the hotel for a half an hour, and then we have to go directly to the venue. And there was a Toys R Us right across the street. And I had a choice between shower or eat or run to Toys R Us. And I decided Toys R Us. And it was the much more the full experience, you know, because they had all of the signage up. I took a selfie with the signage out of new Star Wars figures here now, and had a bunch of weird stuff. I think they had I think it was like the black series of Han and Greedo about to shoot one another.
Right.
But they had Kylo Ren. It was real picked over in like the kind of last one, you know? So I that felt like the, that's what I was really looking for. In my set in that show was about Star Wars, and Molly introduced me. And after that, for the rest of the tour, she was like, this guy's going to talk about Star Wars. Just in case you don't think he really likes it, he chose going to Toys R Us over cleaning his own body. That's always a fun one, because it's about the figure, but it's about the moment in my life and all that.
It's about the entire pursuit coming to that moment, your entire fandom coming to that moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my thought is, you go to a Toys R Us, you probably can grab some kind of candy bar on the way out, and you got dinner covered, so you're good there.
Yeah, if I was smart, it would have been Kylo Ren and a Snickers, but no, it was just Kylo Ren. Do you have a favorite memory of collecting non-figure things, shirts, Funko Pops, trading cards, cereal boxes, oranges that just have BB-8? Yeah. Not even on the orange, but on the little bit of cardboard containing the net.
A little bit of those. I loved getting the promotional, and there again too, promotional Han Solo die, the dice that you can hang from your car. I got that at a con, and you know, it was handed to me. It wasn't a hunt. It was there. It was at the Millennium Falcon. I think Daniel Kennedy, then of Lucasfilm, helped Grace and I get over there easier. So it was a privileged experience. But I just remember walking away from that, holding them in my hand, just going, yes, these can go in my car. Oh, yes. Like, it was so great. But one of the ones I did was recently, last couple of years, I was before the pandemic, I was over at our pal Billy Patterson's house, producer over at Fandom, and he loves popping on Star Wars Ranked, and we talk about collectible stuff. And on the episode, I was at his house talking about the Kylo Ren cereal, and it really hit me that I had not had Star Wars cereal in this modern era. And so I drove home and went to a Target specifically for the Kylo Ren cereal and texted him. Then went home and had a couple bowls. Not good. I'm a cereal connoisseur. I've had to pull off the cereal the last few years. That was a great memory of just that you and I keep talking about, you know, righting wrongs or getting to, you know, fill gaps in our collecting, or just, hey, I'm an adult with a little bit more disposable income and a reason to get this stuff, and I didn't have this as a kid, so I'm going to make up for that. It was all of that wrapped into one, and went out of my way to do it. And here I am, like, well into my 40s by this point, just going, yeah, this cereal's horrible, but I'm glad I did that.
Right. Cause it's experience. It's everything we're talking about at the top of the podcast, right? It is a way for you to connect.
It totally is. Totally is.
I love you. The image of you sitting there going, this is great. Tastes terrible, but what a great experience.
And I like a lot of crappy cereals over the years. Again, you know, finally the doctor had said, do you eat a lot of ice cream, steak, and cereal? Yes. Start cutting all that out. this is about 5-6 years ago. The cereal wasn't too long ago. Yeah, you're absolutely right. The oranges is, we always mention the origins because the BB-8 oranges are hilarious. It's literally just a mesh bag with a little cardboard logo that says Star Wars and BB-8. And you're like, BB-8 oranges. Okay. All right, I'll do it.
Yes, there's nothing that makes them different. BB-8 didn't hand select these oranges, you know, they're not, you know, his taste in oranges. They're not shaped to look like him.
Yeah.
We found freakish oranges that have a little thing on the head, makes them look nubs. Like little nubs. No, it's just, that kind of stuff does really crack me up. Two fun memories for me. One is just going back to youth and those Burger King cups that people talk about a lot. Real collectible. It just wasn't the kind of things that my family did much, but I think it was just that we saw those commercials and we so clamored for them, and we didn't even go to Burger King, but it just got it's a deep sense memory. My dad has this very old panel truck from 1950, a Chevrolet, And this is definitely a, this is the way it was back then, kids, kind of story of, you know, you just go into Burger King and at night and seeing like as a special treat before bed and in the summer. So like, you know, the way the world smells different in the summer and it's, you know, it's dark out, but it somehow still feels a little bit more alive in, at the night. And because of that panel truck, it was just like, I associate the smell of gas with Burger King cups because it was just like, you know how when you walk by a gas, an actual, you know, like you've put gas in your car and somebody spilled a bunch before and you that strong smell like that back then, that panel truck smelled like that always, you know, and mixed with the summer night smell. And maybe they'd still have a Burger King cup. Like that's one of my deep sense memories of collecting.
Oh, love that. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Connect. Yeah. The Burger King cups are a great memory too.
Yeah. Yeah. Another quick one. It's just weird. My good friend who I did a ton of comedy with, also a huge genre fan. I had a little bit, I must have had some job or some little cash bonus where the video game Perfect Dark came out and we loved GoldenEye and that was, you know, by the same designers and a lot of the same mechanics. He couldn't afford it right then, but he knew I could. And he's like, I think that I should come with you and you should buy Perfect Dark. So we went to a Kmart and they had the Obi-Wan lightsaber toy from The Phantom Menace. And initially in that huge Phantom Menace crush, Qui-Gon's and Darth Maul's lightsabers were everywhere. And this is my same friend I had like done a sketch with and choreographed a whole battle with that. But Obi-Wan's was never around. I never saw it. And it was just like, I'm here for Perfect Dark. But then I also saw this Obi-Wan lightsaber that I never saw again in a store. And that's a fun memory of like, well, I got, okay, I'm going to be, I don't know if I'm going to eat this week, but I need this lightsaber along with this video game.
Need it.
How do you have any other collecting memories that you wanted to share?
None. Yeah. I mean, yes, I do. But it's like it's I just wanted to highlight the specific ones, just the absurdity and the poignant nature of running to get cereal.
Yeah, no, that is absolutely great. Great cereal memories. It makes me want to eat something crunchy and sugary and maybe unnatural. I don't know how important for you at any point in the collecting of anything, how important is the hunt? Do you miss the days of physically going a place, of longing something for something, searching for something, and then having that victory moment when you find it? Or do you really like this modern ability where like, hey, something's been announced, you can pre-order it, or you can search it out on eBay and you can hunt in your own home? Where do you go with all that?
I do miss the hunt in theory. I'm trying to think of, I mean, I hunted for cereal. That's clear. But I have no problem with the online nature of it or the immediate nature of it. I order most of my books and stuff online. I do miss bookstores and, you know, bemoan the loss of that. But most of the figures I actually get in store. And I do miss the hunt of the old days of going to the Toys R Us and going, wait, is this the week they're coming out here? Or during that Phantom Menace, excuse me, not the Phantom Menace era, the Force Awakens era that I was talking about, that's why kind of also I consider that it might have been the height of my collecting. There was a lot of times where I was driving to different CVSs. Our friend Mike Black would text all of us on a chain, hey, go to this CVS or you want CVS is now getting this. And he's that kind of collector. I would never talk to a store manager. But now since I don't have that kind of hunt, what I have is just happenstance. And that is why you and I always talk about of anytime we're at a store with a toy aisle, whether it's to get a wild, weird thing like a Grogu drone at a 99-cent store or something that you can get. it's turning the corner. I did it just 2 days ago just to see what's there and what might I get. And there's, you know, a bunch of Landos and Queels and, you know, I even sent you a picture of a new era sad Lobot hanging on a peg forming it.
Yes.
There's that, but just sometimes you turn the corner and there's the figure that just it's one in a case, one on a shelf, no one's gotten it yet and you're there first. So that's now kind of the new hunt.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it, for me, it was so a part of what action figure collecting was that I do miss it. It still happens every once in a while. It did. It absolutely happened for Last Jedi. And I think that is humans. I think there is something important about that cycle of desire, effort, and then accomplishment. You know, yes. I think wanting something, not basic needs. But wanting something fun that you choose to pursue and then getting it does make a difference. And I miss that. And I was stubborn for a long time and really resisted the way that action figures in particular work. I still check the toy aisle every time. I'll still bop into a CVS like, oh yeah, they might have something. Not always, but they might. And I do find things and I still will. But I think in the era we're in right now with the vintage, it's just, you know, the supply chain, just something doesn't work. I'm not an expert on it, but, you know, it's extremely hard to find. Like when Crate Luke came out, like that the vintage Crate Luke should be still on shelves. That should be one of the most popular figures and it should be accessible. And it's just not the way it works, you know?
Yeah.
So I've had to embrace the modern era of like some of these things will never, ever, I will never encounter them on a toy shelf. So if I want them, I got to buy them. And I've now found some rituals for the internet ordering that I really do like. One of them being the pre-order. So I will have it that something arrives in a little box. And now that's a new joy of like, oh, an action figure shaped box arrived. And sometimes I'll know exactly what it is. And sometimes it'll be like a pre-order arrived. I have no idea who's in this box. And then that can be really fun. And the way I've tried to make that special is sometimes I will let the boxes pile up and I will wait until a special moment. Like for me right now, finishing some writing or some other kind of goal is met. And then I get a special treat, open the mystery box.
Love that.
Yeah. Mm. Final question here. We are lucky, of course, to be attending Star Wars Celebration and eager to get on that show floor. What, if anything, are you looking to add to your collection, or are you wide open to whatever is going to move you in the moment?
Always. And I want to have that laugh of what the hell is that as I reach to see how much it costs. I kind of have the same agenda anytime I go to conventions, especially Star Wars Celebration. I'm always looking for a hat. What kind of hat? I don't know. I've never found one. I'll see. The two Star Wars hats I've owned is the Imperial insignia one and now the Rebel insignia one. Black with the white logos. That's just kind of keep it simple, man. But every time at one of these conventions, I want to find just that perfect subtle, you know, not that those insignias are subtle, but, you know, perfect, like, is that a baseball team or, oh, you fought on Endor. Got it. And I haven't found them. They're all a bit too much for me. God bless.
Too much going on.
Too much style. You know, there's ones that are just, it's a giant stormtrooper head. No, I don't want that. It's all neon. Don't want that. There are the ones that I really do like, some of the ones from some of the companies, the Heroes and Villains of the Worlds and all that stuff that are like, Tempest Force, Hoth Blizzard Team, all those kind of things. Those are okay, but they're a little bit too much for where I am right now as a collector and a fan. I want the subtle. I want the quiet, but the strong. And I can't find it. I spent every convention looking out of the corner of my eye. So there's that. This year, I think because I'm a little bit more into collecting shoes and Converse, and I've just kind of starting that out with Chicago. And, I'm looking to see what kind of cool Star Wars shoes I can find. Same vibe, you know, not too garish, just subtle and direct. And then I think this year I have a mental list of some classic Kenner figures off card, $10 in a barrel. I think I'm going to do a little bit more of those searches.
Yeah, I really loved seeing how available those were at Star Wars Celebration. In particular, there was like a literal mountain of Lobot. Loved played with figures that just looked like a pile of Lobot had a rough night.
Yes.
Love that. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm totally open to this prize. Shoes are a good point. I've always wanted to get the Converse that has a Rebel logo. So maybe that's something I'll look out for. But the availability of the figures, it really does create that experience that I've had in the past of I can have some things I'm looking for. I know I want to add a Dooku to my collection. I got a couple other things, but there's been so many figures over the years. I also just love being surprised, and you'll turn into one kiosk on the floor and it'll be like, these are all great, but these are all known to me, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you'll turn and it'll be like, oh wow, this kiosk has got the weird stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping to make some discoveries of weird stuff. I think I definitely want to pick up some Attack of the Clones stuff. I want to celebrate Attack of the Clones. And then maybe I'll find it on the floor, or maybe I'll have to buy it afterwards. But I do like that they make weird stuff for the convention. I absolutely love that Star Wars Celebration Chicago Lucas flannel in Darth Maul colors to celebrate Phantom Menace. I love that shirt. It's one of the weirdest kind of Star Wars merch you could have. Like, it's flannel like George Lucas wears, and it's red and black like Darth Maul, right? And I can't wait to see what weird stuff they come up with.
Yeah, that's truly the joy of just taking your time on the floor. Give yourself, if you're going to the convention, your first one, just give yourself that time. It's fun. It's rewarding.
Yeah. Can't wait to get back there. Any other final thoughts as we wrap up here?
No, other than I've been going to the store, that Target near me, you know, the one, the tiny one. And every time I turn the corner, there's a General Lando. And every time I'm like, I should probably support Lando. I haven't done it yet. Now I might be inspired to finally commit.
I think he's waiting for you. I think he's waiting to give you that two finger salute for purchasing him.
Oh, yeah.
And on that note, the two-finger Lando salute, we are wrapping up. Ken, where can people find us?
Where can you collect us? Well, we are on Twitter, @ForceCenterPod. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. Thank you to all those that watched our most recent live Q&A. Another one will be coming in May before Celebration. We hope. We'll see. We'll stay tuned. We'll let you know. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. You can find us on Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and so many other places. Just search. You'll find us. You can collect Force Center merch at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. Yeah, we don't have 3¾ figures of us yet, but we do have some great t-shirts there. Patreon.com/ForceCenter is where you can support. And I'm overdue. I apologize. At the top level, if you choose to support us there, after a certain level of a certain time of commitment, you'll get Force Center trading cards. Collect us. And I am due to send some out. I apologize. That's on my end. I'll check on that. You can find me at KatNapsock, or go to my website, KatNapsock.com, for more information. And Joseph, where can they go for you?
Yeah, you can find me Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is @JosephScrimshaw. I'll continue to share some of my action figures and other weird Star Wars collectible, like those great weird character cars. So all those social media sites are @JosephScrimshaw, and you can always check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com. But for now, for myself, for Ken, for books full of Star Wars trading cards so you can collect them all in one place, this has been Force Center.
Hey marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners, so there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.